Breakthrough.
You are now listening to Breakthrough News. It's 5 p.m. You're listening to Breakthrough News, and this is The Punch Out. We're following the news all day so you don't have to, giving you everything you need to know about what's in the headlines and what should be. Yes, indeed, that is right. And we are back with you here on The Punch Out, as we always are, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And plenty for you here on the show, as we always do. We've got Cuomo-gate ongoing here. Governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, in some hot water. We'll be talking about ongoing discrimination against black farmers here in the United States. But before we get to either of those two important stories, we want to start with the very low cost, at least relatively, of vaccinating everyone on the planet. Well, one major issue as it concerns COVID-19 vaccinations, is, of course, the supply. We clearly just do not have enough for all the people in the world, and many places that do have access are hoarding them, which is making the problem even worse. This is something that was actually raised recently, as we pointed out to you here on The Punch Out, by South Africa and India at the World Trade Organization just a couple weeks ago, when they tried to get that body to relax the intellectual property rules in order to allow ramped up production, something that the US, UK, and EU opposed and blocked. Now, a new report from Public Citizen has laid out that for $25 billion, the U.S., or, well, I guess maybe anyone else, but the United States, in their proposal, could ramp up vaccine production around the world in order to heavily increase supply. In fact, enough to vaccinate the entire world. Again, for just $25 billion. And this is, of course, a very crucial issue because the slow pace of worldwide vaccinations gives the virus more of a chance to grow and mutate, reducing the efficacy of the vaccines, as we've already seen start to happen in South Africa itself, where both the AstraZeneca and Pfizer vaccines lost significant effectiveness with new strains. So the issue of providing vaccines worldwide quickly isn't about charity, but it's about whether years can be shaved off the extension and perhaps even the renewed growth of the pandemic if, you know, if wide swaths of the world, they're just allowed to mutate however it wants, the thing could go on forever. So getting vaccines to everyone very quickly, extremely important. The U.S. already has ownership rights to the Moderna vaccine, given the massive role played by the government in developing it. Really, they did just about everything, quite frankly, which means that they can more or less do what they want with it. As Public Citizen points out, the mRNA type of vaccines made by Moderna comes from synthetic materials. It's thus easier to make and therefore also easier to adapt to new strains more quickly as well. A study by engineers at Imperial College, that's in the UK, have detailed that you would need 25 production lines in order to produce the 8 billion doses that you would need to vaccinate the world. The cost of developing those 25 production lines to produce the 8 billion doses to vaccinate the world is $1.9 billion. The cost to produce the drug itself, $17 billion. It would also cost, additionally, about $3.5 billion for the necessary technology transfers. Public Citizen also throws in a bit of profit on top of that and comes up with the final cost of $25 billion. So again, $25 billion, 8 billion doses of the vaccine could solve the problem. Just amazing. Just $25 billion and every person in the world could have a vaccine. And it really just begs the question here, what on earth have they been doing all this time? The U.S. government has spent literally trillions of dollars propping up Wall Street due to the pandemic-induced capitalist crisis. It's been over a year since this, just about a year, I guess you could say, since the lockdown started. It's really been over a year at this point that this entire thing has been going on. And this entire time of this year, the government has had the ability, the know-how, and clearly the money to start massively increasing vaccine production capacity and just chose not to do it. Just chose to rely on the so-called free market. Just chose not to do the basic investment to vaccinate the entire world. And now look where we are. No real end to the pandemic in sight, and serious questions about whether vaccines can get out wide enough and fast enough to turn the tide. Well, the long-running discrimination against Black farmers in the United States is continuing apace, at least according to new data about farm relief payments over the past couple years, or really over the past year, from the USDA. The Environmental Working Group has detailed how 97% of the $9.2 billion provided by October 2020 through the Coronavirus Food Assistance Program went to white farmers. 95% of all the money in the Coronavirus Food Assistance Program that was for farmers went to white farmers. 97%. And the report went on to detail that, quote, white farmers received, on average, four times more than the average Black farmer. Really adding insult to injury here. The Environmental Working Group also notes that, quote, the disparity between white and Black farmers was even greater for the Market Facilitation Program, or MFP. It was created by the Trump administration to offset the impact of the failed trade war with China. 99% of MFP payments, according to the Environmental Working Group, went to white farmers. 99%. And on that insult to injury piece, the average payment to white farmers as opposed to Black farmers was 10 times as high. So they got 99% of the money, and they got 10 times more than any non-white person who even was able to get the money in that 1%. And this is part of a long history of discrimination by federal authorities. And while small farms overall have declined in a big way in the past 40 years or so, a range of discriminatory decisions in terms of loans, agricultural extension services, subsidy payments, and the like accelerated the loss of Black farmland well above any normal market conditions. And this new information about these programs from last year comes at the same time. Two members of the House Agricultural Committee, Vicky Hartzler from Missouri and Representative Randy Feenstra from Iowa, are trying to push an amendment to the coronavirus aid bill to narrow the ability of farmers of color to seek greater debt forgiveness. Now, that's a big issue because Black farmers and Native American farmers tend to have to take on more debt because they're so discriminated against by these various government programs. They're behind the eight ball. The predatory lending also massively accelerates land loss. So there's an attempt to make it easier for them to forgive some of this debt and hopefully prevent greater land loss. But Hartzler and Feenstra trying to stop that. And they very well may not succeed, but it does show how much the discrimination against Black farmers continues, how consistent it really is. The history is indeed long. As far back as 1933, New Deal land policies also had the effect of pushing many Black farmers off their land. In 1965, 1982, 1990, 1995, and 2001, official U.S. government reports detailed rampant discrimination in loan provisions especially. So it's not just me, it's the government saying this. New legislation has also been introduced recently in Congress this month that would expand access to finances and equipment for farmers of color, designed to attempt to reverse some of these trends. But tens of millions of acres have already been lost and are unlikely to be reclaimed in any number like where they were, certainly not anytime soon. So past, present, and quite frankly, when you look at Tom Vilsack's record, perhaps the future, nothing fundamentally changing at the USDA when it comes to racism. Andrew Cuomo is embroiled in a major scandal that has just about knocked all the shine off of his attempts to portray himself as a hero during the COVID-19 pandemic. Bottom line here, Cuomo took a bunch of money from the lobbying group that represents hospitals and nursing homes, shielded them from liability for pandemic-related issues, and then withheld critical information that helped keep the heat off these same friends, all while setting a precedent for many other states to follow suit. As the Daily Poster notes, Cuomo and his closest allies got more than $2 million from the Greater New York Hospital Association, GNYHA, its executives and its lobbying firms in donations. So $2 million from these big hospital companies. Then in April, Cuomo inserted a GNYHA written, they wrote it, provision into his budget in April of 2020 that shielded hospital and nursing home executives from liability if their corporate decisions during the pandemic resulted in any deaths, which, you know, clearly is going to reduce the incentive to do things safely rather than profitably when those two things contradict. Now, at the same time they were doing this, Cuomo and state officials were, as they actually now admit, withholding data about the number of nursing home deaths. It turns out, as later reports detailed, that they actually undercounted the number of nursing home deaths by 50%. Which is, of course, also convenient because understating the problem makes it less likely people would go looking for bad corporate decisions from these hospitals and nursing home executives that Cuomo has shielded in the law. So helping them on both sides of the fence there. One of Cuomo's top aides, Melissa DeRosa, said that they did the cover-up because they were worried the numbers would somehow be used against them by either the Justice Department or the state legislature. How exactly is unclear, and it doesn't really make a lot of sense, but not for nothing. Three of her relatives, by the way, Melissa DeRosa, one of Cuomo's top aides, work for a lobbying firm linked to GNYHA. Cuomo, the truth now revealed, has actually been on a warpath, launching all sorts of threats and attacks on lawmakers who are criticizing him for this. Some of them are now seeking to limit Cuomo's powers overall and eliminate this corporate immunity provision. By the way, 27 states have copied New York's immunity provisions for executives of hospitals and nursing homes, for executives to be immune from anything their company does that caused people to die. Senate Republicans used the language almost word for word in their attempt to insert it at the federal level for all corporations. So that's just more evidence that at the end of the day, it wasn't just Trump or Republicans who landed us in this mess. And yes, that's going to do it for us here today on The Punch Out 218-2021. Don't forget, tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we will be live at BT Newsroom on all your social media platforms with the Freedom Side. But again, that will do it for us here on The Punch Out. We'll be back with you tomorrow, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Breakthrough News.